Well, I thank the Lord this morning for the privilege that we have to worship Him. I know I mentioned earlier, but I don't know of any better place to be this morning than in a place of worship with some of God's children to celebrate and remember Jesus. I know that there are a lot of activities today. There's been a lot of going and coming this last week in preparation for Christmas. I know that there are a number of things about Christmas that I'll speak personally, that I personally don't observe. I don't celebrate Christmas the way the world celebrates it. I don't do all the things that they do at this time of year, but I am thankful that people's hearts and minds, at least in part, even in this country, are turned towards the Lord, even though they may mix it with other things that we may not participate in. And I am thankful most of all that Jesus is here for us, not just today, but for every day. And so I would like to begin in the book of Acts, just to bring your mind to an event. We won't begin reading there. But in the book of Acts, in the 8th chapter, if you will recall, Philip met the Ethiopian that was reading from the Scripture. And Philip saw him and he said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And the Ethiopian asked, "Well, explain it to me." And it said from then, it said that Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture, and that was in the book of Isaiah, in the 53rd chapter. And it said that Philip opened his mouth and began at that Scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. And so I would, by the help of the Lord this morning, to preach unto you Jesus. Beginning in the book of Matthew in the first chapter, I know of no other topic that is more fitting and more appropriate and more inspirational, not just this morning, but in every time, every interaction we have with people, there is no greater message than the message of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, he said, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Before she was married, and before she had known any man, she had a baby was conceived in her womb, and it was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And he was, when she married Joseph, we know that Joseph was from the, Brother Max, we were talking about this the other day, but Joseph was from the tribe of Judah. And Joseph would have been Jesus's, if you wouldn't want to consider it, legally adopted father. He had no other earthly father. Joseph was his father, and he was from the tribe of Judah. And there is a lot of speculation, and it's not definite that Mary, there's some controversy whether she also was from the tribe of Judah or was from the tribe of Levi. But there's some evidences that would point that she also was from the tribe of Judah. And so Jesus was from the tribe of Judah, as was prophesied. Now, the symbol of the tribe of Judah, which would have been on their ensign or their flag, was a lion. And truly, this child that was conceived of the Holy Spirit was the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so sometimes people lose that connection, but that was the sign of the tribe of Judah. And Jesus was the lion of the tribe of Judah, a descendant of Abraham, a descendant of David through Joseph. In verse 21, it said, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name." And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Right in this account, we have record of the conception of Christ, the name of Jesus, and the purpose of Jesus. The reason Jesus came to this world was to save his people from their sin. And isn't it noteworthy that it said he would save his people? That includes all of the sinners on the face of the earth. Because why? Who needed saving? His people. We are part of his people because we are part of the creation of God this morning. And Jesus came to save the people from their sin. And then it goes on in verse 23. It said, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." One of the most beautiful purposes and meaning of Jesus, one of the names of Jesus was Emmanuel, because it was God with us. No more is it that it is just God way up in heaven that does not understand our infirmities. No longer is it a God that's up in heaven that he's so divine and his thoughts and his ways are so far above ours. But now there is an Emmanuel. There is one that has come down to this earth to live and walk as a man. He grew up from infancy. He grew to manhood that he understands what it means to be hurt. He understood what it meant to be rejected. He understood what it meant to not be treated right. He understood what it meant to be tempted of the devil. And so when we say, well, I don't think anyone understands, there is an Emmanuel this morning. There is an aspect of God that he understands us in the flesh, and he is ever present with us. He's my Emmanuel. He's with us. Tomorrow, when you face the trials of Monday, we have Emmanuel. Because Jesus came and he understood and he is there to be with us. And Jesus said these words, some of the last words as Christ that he gave his disciples were, he said, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Those were the words of Christ. He said, although I'm going away in this flesh, I'm going to stay with you in the Spirit, that no longer do you have to face life by yourself. No longer do you have to experience that loneliness and that separation from God, but I am going to be with you through the fire. I'm going to be with you when you go through the valley. I'm going to be with you and experience the joys of life with you. And I'm also going to be with you when you go through the heartaches and when you have the tears of life. I want to be your Emmanuel. This morning, you are not alone. But we have Emmanuel that loves us and cares for us and understands us. And over in Luke in the second chapter, remember when the shepherds were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to those shepherds, and the angel said, "Fear not." Why? "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born..." See, that's Emmanuel. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Is not there cause to rejoice this morning? Is not there cause to be warmed by the presence of the Lord to know that the good news that was announced, and I know it was not 2,000 years ago to the day. We know that. It wasn't. And we know that historically Jesus was not born on December 25th. Most likely it was in the fall at some time. There's some, but people don't know. We know it probably was not at this time of year, but we know he was born. We know that there was good news when his birth was announced by the angels. And he said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." And those tidings are still for us here this morning. And I know that each one goes through difficult times, but there's good news, and it's good news of Jesus. Because he said, "For it's to you." It's The greatest gift that God has given, one of theirs, He gave us His Holy Spirit too, but one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us was the gift of His Son. For God so loved the world that He did what? That He gave. For God so loved you this morning in our failure, in our sin, in our unlovable state, God looked down and He loved us. He didn't cut us off. He did not leave us destitute. He did not leave us in our sinful estate, but the Scripture said God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a great gift of love that has been given to each and every one of us this morning. And it is that gift of love. When I woke this morning, and we could say everyone should just be so happy and joyful on this Sunday morning, but I woke with a heavy heart this morning. And as I lay there in bed before I got up, my mind was going and I was doing some reflecting, and Renee came in and I shared a little bit with her and we were talking, and you know, my heart was warmed because of the love of God, because of what He is to us. And although there are things that can burden us, and sometimes things in life do not turn out exactly like maybe what you had planned or what you had expected, I am so thankful this morning for the love of God. I'm thankful for Emmanuel. I'm thankful for the gift of His Son and the presence of His Spirit. And I am thankful that He has given that gift to each and every one of us. And sometimes you may feel like that as you witness to people, you may say, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to someone that's in need. Do you know you have this simple story of Jesus Christ and who He is and what He is in your life, and there is no greater value than to be able to relate and share the story of Jesus this morning. The story of Jesus Christ, because He's with us and He is. You remember Jesus was asking His disciples, who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some Elias, and some a prophet, and some a teacher. And Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus to you this morning? And Peter looked on Jesus and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is the Son of God this morning. It is more than just someone that will listen to our problems and commiserate with us, but He is one that has the divine ability to work miracles in our life. He is the one that is able to change our life. He is the one that is able to do for us. And if I say it every Sunday, I hope we get it and I hope we remember it. It is Jesus that is able to do for us what we are not able to do for ourselves. That's Jesus. He is the Son of the living God. And I would this morning that we would know who Jesus is. It's not about the gift giving. It's not about the Christmas carols. It's not about and I appreciate that we can have family get-togethers are good and they are wholesome and those are wonderful. But it's much more than that. It is that Jesus Christ came to forgive us and to save us, and He loves us, and He is the Son of the living God. That is our Jesus this morning. This Jesus this morning that Philip began to expound to the Ethiopian. This Jesus we read in Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, where Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. It is Jesus that is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we say, what does that mean? Jesus was not a creation. Jesus was from the beginning. And he is present now, and he will be for eternity. Jesus had an eternal existence. There are some that teach that he was a creation. But Christ himself said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. And it is Jesus that is the author and finisher of our faith this morning. When people say, what do you believe? And what do you teach? What does your church teach? Do you know it's not about what just what is taught as a fellowship here this morning? It all comes back down to this word here. It's about Jesus this morning. He is the author of our faith. What we believe and what we teach and what by the help of the Lord we live this morning is not based upon what a group of ministers decided at a minister's meeting. It is not about what someone started 140 years ago. It is not about what we have decided we would be as a church or as a congregation. Jesus is the author. And he will be the finisher of our faith. And that is the reason we teach and believe and live what we do. It is because of Jesus. And if there is anything that is ever taught from behind this pulpit, whether it's from me or any other minister, and it goes beyond the scope and adds to or it takes away from what we have in this book, which is an expression of Christ himself, then you distance yourself from that. Because what this is about, it's about Jesus. And it was Jesus that John talked about in John chapter 1 when it said the Word came down to us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was talking about Jesus. Now, there are some people that espouse a doctrine that just preach Jesus. Just preach Jesus and leave all the doctrinal things aside. Because it's doctrine that divides people. Just teach Jesus. But what is Jesus? Jesus is the Word. He is the expression of the Word of God himself. So if we separate the doctrinal teachings of the New Testament, we will fail to be preaching the essence of who Jesus Christ came to be in our lives. But Jesus is the author and he is the finisher. So the nature of Jesus, what was his nature? We talked a little bit about it Sunday afternoon. Jesus, the scripture in Hebrews 2, verse 9, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, and he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. We read about the miraculous conception of Christ. Yes, he was born of a woman, and so he was 100% human, but he was also 100% God. But understand that by choice, Jesus left the splendor of heaven and he came down to this earth. Now, why would anybody leave the best of the best and come down to this? It was because of his love. But he became, it said, he was made lower than the angels. He by choice came to a place of suffering and ridicule. He by choice came to suffer on the cross because of his love for us. Hebrews 2 verse 16 says that for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He became like us to understand us. Colossians 1, chapter 15 to 18, summarizing this Jesus and who he is, it said he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus was God in the flesh. Yes, there was God the Father that was up in heaven. But Jesus took on the form of flesh, and it was for him by all things were created that are in heaven and earth. And it goes on to say there in the book of Colossians that whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. Who's the head of the church? It's Jesus. Some say, yes, but really, who is the head of your church? Jesus. I know, but what minister is kind of in charge? Jesus. Yes, but which one kind of, you know, ranking? If you're going to rank the ministers and who has this kind of the authority and the governing, Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. Yes, He has placed members in the body, and He has ministering servants, and there are administrations, and there are governments, but practically and in reality, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And we honor Him, and we glorify Him, and we give Him that honor that is due His name this morning as our head. He is the head, and He is the one that is to have the preeminence. Matthew 28, 18, it said, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This Jesus that we speak about this morning has all power. Now we look at what is going on in our world today, and there are a lot of powers. There we see the power of the devil. We see the power of governments. We see the power of the enemy working in people's lives, destroying homes. We see the power and the influence of, and television is just archaic anymore, is it not? Isn't that an archaic thing almost? We see the power of the internet. We see the power that the internet and what people are doing with it, the destruction that it is causing in people's lives. We see the power of the influence of immorality all around us. We see the political ideologies and the lack of morality influencing this generation of people. And yet there is a greater power this morning. Because where sin did abound, what? There did grace much more abound, and that grace came by way of Jesus Christ. Where you see strongholds of this world and strongholds of this enemy, I am so thankful this morning to tell you that there is a greater power, and it's a power of Jesus Christ. And when you get to that place and you say, I don't know what to do, I just can't, I want you to know that by the power of God, you can. By the power of Jesus Christ, He can transform your life. And it is for that reason that Jesus came and He died on the cross. And they put that inscription over His head that said, this is the King of the Jews. King of the Jews. Why is that? Because Jesus is the King of Kings, and He is truly the Lord of Lords. And He can be King over sin, the King over, He can break that power that we can reign over sin in our life. Well, it is that same power. The Scripture says in Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? He's a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How is that possible? It's possible because of Jesus. That I wasn't able, but through the power of God, He transformed my life. Herod heard about Jesus. And I think it's very interesting in Luke chapter 9 that Herod was perplexed, it said. He was perplexed because there were people that said, John the Baptist is raised from the dead, because he heard about this man that was working all of these miracles. And Herod said, I had John the Baptist was beheaded. I mean, I saw it. I had it done. He was beheaded. He said, but who is this whom I hear of such things? Who is this? Who is this? He said it was Jesus. This is whom we speak of this morning. Who is this Jesus? This Jesus that was full of compassion. We heard about this Wednesday night in the children's program. This Jesus worked miracles. This Jesus set captives free. This Jesus healed the blinded eyes. This Jesus is the one that when you're hurting, He's the one that has compassion for you. This is that Jesus. This is that Jesus that when you make a mistake, this is that Jesus that will come and say, neither do I condemn thee. Go and don't do it again. This is that Jesus that looked on the sinners and was moved with compassion. This is that Jesus that looked on those that were going hungry. And he said, I don't want to send them away lest they faint by the way. This is that Jesus that you can come to in your embarrassment, with your most embarrassing moments, with your greatest struggles, with your greatest failures, with the temptations that you might not want everybody to know that you have. This is that Jesus that you can come to and say, Lord, this is where I'm at. This is that Jesus that loves you. And this is that Jesus that cares for you. And this is that Jesus that says, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And this is that Jesus that went to the cross and he suffered and he died because of you. And this is that Jesus that 3 days later he rose from the dead in victory, conquering death, that he might be alive forevermore. This is that Jesus that is standing at the right hand of the throne of God. This is that Jesus that's interceding for us this morning. This is that Jesus that the angel spoke of that morning to the shepherds. And this is that Jesus that we kneel and pray in the name of Jesus, because there is love, there is power, there is grace, there is understanding, and there is hope for a brighter tomorrow because of this Jesus. So Philip, as he read in Isaiah 53, as the Ethiopian read out of Isaiah, and Philip opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus out of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah 53 says, who hath believed his report? I've just given a little bit this morning. Do you believe the report? Who hath believed the report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He hath no form. And I'm not going to read all of it. But it said, he hath no form or comeliness. Jesus wasn't someone you would look at and say, what a handsome man. It said that was not where the attraction was. It wasn't in the physical. It was in the spiritual. It was in his love. It was in his goodness. Who he hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. Was that not Jesus? He was a man of sorrow, and he was acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. We didn't give him the honor that we should have. He was rejected, and yet surely he hath borne our griefs, and he hath carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, and he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth, for he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before his shears is dumb, so opened not he his mouth. This is that Jesus that Philip began to share with the Ethiopian. It is this Jesus that is raised from the dead this morning. It is this Jesus that is our King. He is the Lord of Lords. And it is this Jesus, the Scripture says in Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart. You see, the confess, acknowledge, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is our salvation this morning. Lord, we confess your name. We believe enough to turn away from our sin and embrace Christ and his way. And it is this Jesus that has made us a new creature, and it is this Jesus that has something wonderful to give to us if we will keep following him, and that is the gift of eternal life. I'd like to conclude with John chapter 4, verse 10. When Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, the woman who had been married three times, the woman who was not following the Lord, the woman who had her own system of beliefs. And Jesus asked her, he said, "Will you give me to drink?" Jesus said, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Did you get that? Jesus told that woman, if you really knew who I am, if you really knew who it was that was asking you for a drink, you would have asked me for something. If you knew who I was, you would say, "Lord, would you give me living water?" If you knew, you wouldn't keep living like you're living. If you really knew, you wouldn't keep feeling like you were feeling. If you really knew, you wouldn't have to keep giving in like you've been giving in. Do you know this morning? Do you know Jesus? Do you know who he is? I am so thankful for the simple story of Jesus, because he is my Lord, he is my Savior, he is my Emmanuel, and he truly and surely has been the Prince of Peace in my life. And without reservation this morning, I recommend Jesus to you. And may we celebrate and remember and enjoy and be challenged and encouraged because of Jesus. May the Lord bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.